In the few minutes that we have remaining, I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ruth, one of my favorite books of the Old Testament. I find myself going back every year to read again the account that's given to us in this particular book of the Bible. And specifically, I'm going to deal with the subject over the next several weeks as we have time together of how God's providence works. I've been reminded over and over again in the past month or two of how God just takes care of things, how He watches over His people. Just today, the Whitney's sent a picture to my wife of a bad accident that took place ahead of them involving a tractor trailer and a car. The car was on top of its roof. And to think that God preserved them from being involved in that accident is the providence of God. God takes care of His children. It doesn't mean that we don't have problems. It doesn't mean that we don't have troubles. But God has a way of undertaking for His children in ways that we cannot even fathom many times. And I was reminded as I was reading through the book of Ruth again of the blessing of how God took care of a Moabite woman who associated herself with a Jewish woman as a result of a marriage that had taken place. She lost her husband, she lost her father-in-law, and she returns back to the land of Israel. And then we see the hand of providence just begin to work. When you come to chapter 2, you anticipate something is about to happen. You anticipate that. You see it. We've read it 1,000 times perhaps. But that wonderful provision of God's providence in the life of Ruth, who said that I will follow you, I will follow your God. Now, what did that mean for her as a pagan, having come to faith in the Lord and trusting in the God of Naomi? How did that work in her life? She was about to find out. And all of us, if we are walking with God, walking in His Spirit, know the blessing of the providence of God, watching out for us, taking care of us. I want to think on some of those things. I'm just going to read the first three verses of chapter 2 as we begin this little study together. As God manifests His grace to a Moabite girl and how He worked in her life. Verse 1, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth. Stop right there. Every girl's dream, right? A mighty man of wealth. That's my boy right there. Let's just stop for a minute. Go back to chapter 1. What do we find in chapter 1? Elimelech takes his family out of Israel because there's no what? There's no food. They go to Moab because they hope they're going to find what? Food. They get to Moab. Things don't go according to plan. Elimelech dies. The two boys, Mahlon and Chilion, die. And now you have two women. Actually, there were three, but one of them, Orpah, she went back to her family. All right, it's Orpah, not Oprah. So make sure you get that right. I don't want to have any problems here with people misunderstanding me. She went back to her family. Two left, Naomi and Ruth, and they are in dire poverty. What does God do to encourage these two ladies? Now, Elimelech had a kinsman by the name of Boaz, who was a mighty man of, everybody say please, wealth. Now you say, oh no, Pastor Todd's going into health and wealth gospel here on us. No, what I'm gonna show you here is the tokens of grace to two women who are in desperate need of God's grace. All right? God's providence in their lives. What are they going to do? Where are they going to live? Where are they going to go back to? The property's gone that belonged to the family. There's no home to go back to. How's God going to work this out? And immediately in chapter 2, God starts to work, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And now get this. And her hap was to light upon a part of the field belonging to who? Boaz. This is not accidental. This is providential. Christian, there are no accidents in your life. There's no accidents. It's providential. How God works in amazing ways. Whose field of all the fields to go to? Boaz, the mighty man of wealth, who gives permission for this young lady and then tells his workers to do what? Hey, I want you to purposefully drop. I want you to leave behind some of the ears of wheat. I want them to be left for her. Why? She's not a Jewish girl. Where's she from? Moab. There's no possible way to understand this other than God is working. Do you want God to work in your heart and life? You want God working in your heart and life? Listen, you should desire that more than anything else in the world. I want God working in my life. I want His providence. I want His sovereign will to be performed in my life. You've got to want that and desire that. Well, we desire a lot of things, do we not? We desire money. We desire this. We desire that. We have a long list of all the things that we desire in this world. But the most important desire that you can possess, Christian, is your desire for God to work in your life in a powerful way. Amen? In a powerful way. Here are two women. They have no money. They have no property. And they go back to Israel, which they should have never left to start with. Elimelech was wrong to lead his people out of the place of bread, to take them out of that, to take them to another foreign country. Nothing worked out according to what they had planned. They go back to the land of promise, and who starts working? God does. God does. He brought them back into the place where He could bless and work in their hearts and lives. This is what we call providence. Is it a wonderful thing? You get to the end of the book of Ruth and you see that she falls into the line that's going to bring about King David one day and King Jesus. Amen? That's an interesting accident. No, it's called providence. Some people like to complicate God's providence. But it's very simple. Be in a place where God can do His work in your heart and life. Can God do His work in your heart and life if you never read your Bible and you have no interest in studying it? Can God bless your life when God is an afterthought in your life and we'll do that on Sunday, but the rest of the week's mine? Can God do a work in your heart like that? Oh. No, He cannot. There must be a desire within the heart. And Ruth and Naomi were in a place they just wanted God to undertake for them, and He did. So let's look at three things very quickly, and then we're going to close, that I've seen in this particular passage. By the way, God doesn't play the lottery. Can we get that kind of understanding of God out of our minds? God is not up there, rolling the dice to see how things are going to work out. He's purposefully in control of every detail. He's in control right now in this earth where we're not having millions of atomic explosions taking place every second. Why? Because in Him all things consist. They adhere. God is in control. The deists were wrong. God is in control. And so, we see first of all that God cares about the tiniest details of life. two people in a world of millions. Two people. We have close to 8 billion people on the planet now. I think we're at 7.7 billion people. That's a lot of people. And we don't really amount to a hill of beans in a world of 7.7 billion people, do we? But with God, the tiniest details are in His control. And so He makes sure that two ladies have food on the table. Amen? Lord, give us our daily bread. Isn't that what God told the disciples? Give us our daily bread. We have to trust Him in the little things. Now you might say, and I would probably say, sir, eating is not a little thing. That's a pretty big thing when you have nothing to eat. And they had nothing. And God's put it in the heart of this wealthy man. You leave a little bit behind for her. Can you imagine the workers? Well, we've got to do all this extra work. Oh, the boss man. He's falling for this girl from Moab. We got to leave behind stuff for him. No, I don't think so. God was working in a very powerful way in the little tiny things. Do you know that God is interested in the small things in your life? Nothing overwhelms Him. Number two, that He uses everything and wastes nothing. God uses everything. He used wheat to bring two people together. Is that pretty extraordinary? That's like for us, you know, Texas Roadhouse bringing two people together. You know, you go down there to get something to eat, or maybe Cracker Barrel. We'll put that in there. You go down there for some pancakes, and oh, there's this girl over here, and you end up meeting each other. I've seen the Lord do things in a remarkable way, bringing people together. Caitlin and Miles. How the Lord just worked that out to bring them together. We could go down the long list of how God has brought people together. Ariane and Travis, they were living at opposite ends of the country. And God worked, brought them together. My wife and I were at opposite ends. She was up in Maine and I was down here in Florida. That's thousands of miles away. Can God work those things out, folks? Yes, He can. He uses everything and wastes nothing. Wheat laying on the ground didn't go to waste because that young lady went out there and she picked it all up and she took it home and she ground it and she made bread with it. You know, it was not easy back in those days. They didn't have Walmart. They didn't have the app where you could go on there and order your bread and you go sit out in the parking lot and somebody wheels it out to you and you don't even have to move. They didn't have that back then. You went and picked up your wheat and you took it home and you broke it down and you ground it up and then you took the flour and you made your bread and baked it. And that's what these ladies did. God used everything. Providence. Third thing, and we'll close. The third thing that I see here is that God intends to shape His children into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. We learned that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29. He purposes that we will be conformed to the image of His Son. What was God doing in Ruth's life? He was molding and making her into a vessel that He could use to bring forth His Son. All the children that were born that followed leading up to King David and then on as God worked to finally bring His Son into the world. What was He doing? He was conforming people. Boaz, a godly man. Ruth, a godly woman. Naomi, having to come out of her bitterness into blessedness. And you know what brought that about? She didn't have to go to a 12-step recovery program. God worked in her heart. Amen? God worked in her heart, and she went from bitterness to blessing. Because at the end of the book, what does she say? God has blessed. They even named the child that. God is blessed. And such what providence. You should seek for God to do His work in your life every day. In the tiniest things. That's what we should desire. That's where God does His best work, when we submit to Him in the small things. Some people say, well, I've got God's doing the macro, I'm taking care of the micro. Then He's not taking care of anything then, because you still got your hands all over it. God wants to take, and that's what Ruth and Naomi did. They come back empty-handed, they have nothing. And when they come back, God's already got somebody ready to go. Isn't that wonderful? You know, the one thing about providence is not just taken care of right now. It's God already having worked ahead of time. How many of you can give testimony of how God was working ahead of time before you even knew that you were going to be brought together with somebody, or God was going to supply a need that you didn't even know you had at the time? Mr. Woods was saying the same thing the other day when I was talking to him on the phone. He was saying, I thought I was fine. I go in there for my scheduled appointment. Howard, you have cancer. It's spread outside the prostate region. It's in your spine. He said, I had the worst possible thing. I'm going to die of cancer. But God was already working and had a doctor there who specializes in that type of treatment and so forth. And he said, I think we can take care of it. We caught this early. And now his PSA is 16 down to 1. He remarked yesterday, he said, Todd, he said, God knew all this before I even knew it. God was already working. I didn't have to sit down and scratch my head. What am I going to do? God just took care of it. God took care of it. The providence of God is the most wonderful experience that you will ever have on this side of heaven. Watching God work. But you've got to be in a place where He can work. You've got to get your hands off and let God put His hands on. Remember, He's the potter. I'm the what? All right? When the clay says, no, I'm not going to be that. I'm going to be something else. Well, you know what? The potter just takes that lump off, boom, gets him another lump and starts going at it again. He's not going to waste time fighting you. He wants you to be conformed to the image of His Son. And on my part, that means I submit to Him. That's the glorious thing. I submit to Him and let Him do His perfect work in me. That's what God desires. And as we're in this brand new year, we're just a few days into the brand new year, folks, we've got to stop meddling in God's work and let Him do His perfect work in us. Then we'll know His blessing and we'll know His providence and His care and His grace and His mercy that we so desperately need. But we've got to submit ourselves under the mighty hand of God so that He can do that work. We're going to talk a little bit more about this because I have some more thoughts to share with you in this particular chapter. The chapter that just is the springboard for God's blessing and grace in these ladies' lives, in Boaz's lives. Does he get a jewel or what? I only had one person respond. Did he get a jewel or not? Thank you. Three people. Good. The rest of you, all right, we'll give out special things to help you stay awake in prayer meeting in the future. All right. No, let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank You so much for Your word. Lord, Your providence is so glorious and wonderful. But we have to submit ourselves. We have to put ourselves in a place where You can work. Help us not to be proud and arrogant and stubborn. But Father, help us to be submissive to Your holy will and let You do Your work. Naomi and Ruth just came to the place where they realized we have nothing. It's time to go home. That was all part of God's plan. Get them back home where He could do His work in their hearts and lives and take care of them in ways that was beyond imagination. To be taken from a place of poverty to a place of riches and put into the royal family. Lord, we thank You for this wonderful story. What an encouragement it is to our hearts, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you and good night.